This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
All different, driving on the way home from Burlington.
Yeah. What were the books? I have not read everything.
That's cool. I don't think I've read everything either. I read the majority of the stuff. I tried to read Superman, but I was too damn tired for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Action was real good.
Well, it started off good, but it looked like it had layers and layers of stuff, and I needed to be awake and pay attention. So I was just like, I'll catch it later.
Yeah.
But I read, like, Red Hood and...
I haven't read Red Hood yet.
Oh, god damn it.
Yeah.
Ugh. I would say, what about Deathstroke?
Deathstroke I read.
Alright. Because those are probably my two top of the week, I would say.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Let's see.
Did you read JLA?
Yes.
So we read the majority of them. Flash?
I did not read... I haven't read Red Hood, Flash, or Wonder Woman yet.
I haven't read Wonder Woman either.
And I don't think... There was a Batgirl book, too, I think. I didn't read that one.
Batgirl and the Birds of Prey?
Yeah, I didn't read that one.
Yeah, I read that one.
I think besides
that...
I
tried to read, like, the big ones that I figured that we'd talk about.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I don't know when you're going to start it or when, if we're just doing it right now.
I got no idea. If you were just speaking, nothing came out.
Oh, I said this is my favorite issue of Red Hood that's ever came out.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Even without Dexter Soy doing the art?
Yeah, even without Dexter Soy doing the art. That was the only part that I kind of had an issue with, because everybody looked Asian, almost. And you'll know what I'm talking about. I mean, it wasn't, like, thrown off bad, but, like, Jason didn't look like Jason.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm kind of skimming through it now, and it doesn't have that, like, dark, edgy look like it did.
Can you hear me now?
sort of. It's really glitchy.
Yeah, I just came up out of the big, like, there's a big, like, hill, so I just came on the top of it. It should be fine from here on out, actually.
Okay.
Unless I'm glitchy still.
Sound all right now.
Okay. No, but, like... I could tell that it wasn't Dexter Soy doing the art, but the story wasn't really a dark story, but, I mean, you'll just have to read it. It really brings home the fact of humanizing Bizarro.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's one thing that I've really been enjoying so far about the series.
Yeah. Because there's, like, a lot of, like, little things that, like, even his mental capacity type thing, and, like, little panels and nods, like, that he does, that you're like, oh, I get it, you know, I can totally feel what he's feeling, or what Jason and Artemis are going through.
You mean, like, the, Of Mice and Men bit at the end?
Well, there's that. But, like, at the very beginning, Killer Croc shows up, and they can say, hey, that isn't Killer Croc on Suicide Squad now? And he tells Bizarro not to kill anybody, to, like, you know, remember what they talked about.
Right.
And not hurt. And, like, he just, like, whacks off Killer Croc's head, and it's a robot.
Huh.
And, like, he's like looking eye to eye with Bizarro, and he was like, "You knew he wasn't alive, right?" And he was like, "Yeah," but he's like looking down, like cowering down, like a little kid would, you know?
Right.
Like, no, I had no idea, but I'm gonna tell you, I did.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I just wish that I had more time to read anything. Because I wanted to get to this one. Because the series has been so good.
And it's just not like Jason and Bizarro's interactions. It's like Alfred and Jason's interactions also.
Right.
Which is cool. So.
Hmm.
But we could talk about a book that we both read.
Yeah, what did you think of the Justice League of America Rebirth issue?
I liked it. I like where they're going with it. I mean, it felt like a number one issue, for sure.
Yeah.
Like a, you know, introduction of everybody.
Right.
All over again, or to each other. I don't know, I think Lobo with me is going to be the problem of the book.
I agree with you completely. He's the one character that I care the least about, and bits and pieces of him I don't mind, but I mean, I think he might run into the Harley Quinn category for me.
Right, yeah.
You know, I never understood why he was so popular way back when.
Because he was so edgy.
I guess. But I enjoyed the issue. My problem with it was I'm not a fan of, like, let's put a team together issues where it's page one and page two are this person. Page three and page four are this person coming on. Page five and six are this person coming on. You know, just kind of... There have been other issues that have done it better. It kind of flowed better. Where, you know, yeah, they're picking up new members, but right. it's done with like a better... I don't want to say a better style. But it's just... It's not as... Here's this, here's this, here's this. There's more of a better feel to it.
A better cohesive, like, organic way about it. Than
yeah.
The famous trope for it. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know, I mean, like I said, it wasn't bad. I really liked, you know, I thought that the art in this was fantastic, too.
Right.
You know, but I mean, Ivan Rice is pretty good.
I don't know, maybe they said, and I didn't pick up on it, but I still don't get why we need this team. Does that make sense?
Well, Batman kind of, the only info that we sort of got is that he wanted to put together a team of mortals and not gods.
Yeah, but you have Lobo on there.
Yeah, that was the one thing I didn't understand.
Yeah, he like kept saying that, but like if that was the case, it'd be like the Defenders, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Where they're all like him and normal,
right?
And just crime bust. But
I mean, for the most part, it really is just a bunch of people. You know, they might have like an ability here or there. Or a totem that does something, or, you know, an outfit or whatever. But, you know, it's not like he's with Superman and, you know, Hal Jordan and Wonder Woman.
Right. And I kind of liked how they did Black Canary in that situation, you know?
Okay.
Because she's in Green Arrow. And, of course, she's in Birds of Prey, so she's going to be stretched pretty thin, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, where she had this messages from him.
Right.
Right? Was that this issue, or was that Birds of Prey issue?
Might have been the Birds of Prey issue.
Okay, maybe I'm just crossing them.
Yeah, I mean, this one, it wasn't too much of that.
Okay. So, yeah, because I don't have it in front of me, obviously, because I'm driving, but...
That's no excuse.
But I just don't want that character being stretched thin, where everything's not cohesive, because that's what I'm liking about Rebirth, is that everything's pretty cohesive and flows in together, or... is connected somehow, some way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a strong point. Speaking of strong points, this issue of Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, I think, is Rob Venditti at his absolute finest.
Yeah, I can agree that.
I mean, it's a setup issue, but it's also, it progresses a lot of stuff as well, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That you oftentimes have, okay, this major, you know, this major storyline just ended. The next issue is going to be just a bunch of hanging around. And this was some of that with, you know, the Green and Yellow Lanterns trying to figure out what they're going to do. But, you know, you have Guy bringing in, you know, bringing in the information of the other Yellow Lanterns. You have Hal and Kyle off doing their thing. And, of course, they find St. Walker, which is fantastic.
Right.
So it's, even though it's setting things up for the next big, you know, couple story points, it still did a lot. And, you know, and like Venditti does, it had a lot of, you know, like a lot of little bits and pieces of things that are going to be coming back or resolving things that were little bits and pieces, you know, 7-8 issues ago.
Right. The only little thing that I don't like.
Nope, you're wrong. This book was perfect.
I don't like Kyle's voice. It just doesn't seem like Kyle that I've read in the past. I don't know how to describe it, but it just doesn't feel like him, really, in this issue.
Right.
Like when they were in the Emerald Site, or when he was coming out of the Emerald Site, when Hal was.
Okay.
That felt more like Kyle and what Kyle would do and Kyle would say. Type thing, but him in this issue didn't feel like him.
But
I don't know. I'm not saying that it was totally wrong. I'm saying that it was kind of off a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I don't feel that way. But I mean, I guess I can see how you could. You know,
I
mean,
just like the little. It was almost like he was Hal Jr. in this one. You know what I mean? That he's never been like Hal Jr. and smart-assy type.
Yeah, I can see that. That's true. I did really appreciate the part, though, where Jon Stewart is telling Hal, you know, hey, I'm in charge now. This is how we're going to do things. And Hal goes, absolutely, I'm 100% behind you. You know, whatever you need me to do, I'm going to do. And he goes, oh, well, it would mean a lot, you know, if you put in a good word about the Yellow Lanterns. He goes, oh, by the way, I have to go do something right now. So I'll see you at some point. He's like, oh, yeah, thanks. He goes, yep, doing everything I can.
Like I said, I enjoyed this. Like you said, Robert is on point. The art's on point. It was just that little minor thing that I had with it. But other than that, this book has gotten better and better and better. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I definitely agree with that. You know, I mean, there's very little I could complain about this book.
Right. Yep.
One book that I was not so into, which really surprised me based off of how much I've been enjoying it. Although the last couple issues I've sort of been down on it, was right. This issue of Detective, I just was not feeling.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprises me.
I mean, I like Orphan. I like Cassandra Cain. But it's like, I don't know, the way that the story was told with her, just, yeah. It, at no point did it really grab me and get me excited for the story until the last page.
Huh. Well, I guess for me, it's just because, like, even when it came back in Rebirth.
Right.
Like, she was the character that I was most interested about.
Okay.
So maybe that's why I enjoyed this one more, because it was more centered on her and learning about her.
I could see that. Yeah.
And I liked how, like, we know that she can't express herself, really, or
right.
talk that much, really. So, like, a lot of it is done not through narration bubbles per se, but like just one word answers, like how she feels or looks towards people.
Okay.
So it was almost like a Snake Eyes issue without it being a total silent issue for me.
Okay.
Because yeah. she doesn't know how to express herself. So she's just given one word answers.
Yeah, and I mean, it's true. I agree. And I think, you know, she also, the way that they draw her, sort of,
yeah.
you know, her body language also is very well done.
Right.
But, I mean, at the same time, for me, it was, I don't know, 20 pages of stuff that you've kind of already seen.
Like a fill-in issue, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this was, you know, after the two issues with Batwoman.
Right.
Which could have just been her Rebirth issue.
Right.
You know, now to have this, I don't know what they're buying time for. I mean, especially because they hyped this up, because it's issue 950.
Right.
They were hyping, oh, it's a double supersized, you know, anniversary issue.
Right.
And normally, when you're going to hype up that it's an anniversary issue of some sort, it's going to be, you know, some all-out brawl or some crazy revelation or something. And if the crazy revelation is that, you know, Shiva is watching her, then, I mean, you could have done that in any other issue.
Well, yeah, but you also, like, got the Clayface stuff in there, too.
Yeah, but it...
Him and Luke.
And again, that's, it's all well and good, but it doesn't do anything.
Well,
you know, like,
the...
he has a different bracelet that he can stay in his form for slightly longer, but it destroys his DNA, so he's not ever going to use it. You know, it to me, it just feels like... As I was reading the entire thing with Clayface and Luke,
yeah.
All I was thinking to myself was, I really wish that this was Tim who would actually be solving this problem.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. To me, it all fit, and it all worked out, because Tim isn't on the table, so...
Right.
You know... And you get to see the struggle from Clayface's point of view, kind of, you know? Like, okay, thanks for trying, but there's still no hope. And then Luke was like, no, this is just one try. You know, we're not done trying. This is just one thing that, you know, baby step, I guess.
Right.
Which, I mean, us as a reader got to know that it's never going to work, right? But... At least the hope's still there.
Yeah. True.
Because, I mean, how interesting would it be for just a Basil or a Basil issue, right?
You know, I think they could do a lot of very interesting things with that, though. You know, you could have an issue with him where he's himself, and throughout the issue is slowly going back to Clayface.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and trying to fight it or not fight it or, you know, whatever. He's with... He thinks he has things under control and he's out with someone for the first time in God knows how long. You know, right. Like there are a lot of things they can do. If you're going to give me a bit of a story that doesn't really progress the story in like a major way, give me better character development.
See, yeah. I can see what you're saying. I thought they did have character development. Even if it was baby step character development and not huge and revolutionary, but...
Right.
Because you still have Clayface who's striving to be normal again.
Right.
And then you kind of have Luke who is still trying... Who's eager to be on the team, but still trying to find his footing and his place on the team, personality-wise. To fit in, I guess. And then, of course, you got John Luke in there, right?
Yeah.
Or John Paul, I mean.
John Paul, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's another one. I'm curious, because all of it was, you know, to be continued.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how that's going to tie in with, I mean, obviously, the next storyline is going to be something with the League of Assassins.
Right.
And I'm curious how Azrael's going to fit in there.
Yeah.
You know, I did like the last, like the I guess it was the shortest of the stories, the one that Eddie Barrows drew, where it's takes place in the past and it is Tim and Batman. Tim basically he brings them to, you know, a completely secure place so that nobody can hear anything that they're saying, and he's pretty much confronting him. You know, why are you putting together an army? Like, what war? You know, you have Nightwing doing this. You have Jason doing that. Like, you have eyes and ears everywhere. Why?
Right, yep.
You know, and of course you don't get an answer. But...
Right.
You know, I like that because it's very much, you know, the two of them. So... is interesting. And of course it, you know, leads with the dark days are coming. Or not leads, ends with.
But yeah, the darker days.
Yep.
Yep.
So I'm very curious to see what's next. Like once it gets back into Detective Comics and not, you know, three, four issues of solo things.
Right. Well, and then after Suicide, we're going to have a Batman crossing.
What was that? You cut out again. You said after Suicide something?
Or League of Assassins. After the League of... Yeah, but I mean... After the League of Assassins arc, we're going to have that in. Can you hear me now?
Now I do. After the League of Assassins
arc, we're going to have the Batman crossover story, right? Again?
Is that...
Or no?
Is that coming up there? Because I know... It seems like the timing is probably going to be so that once that ends, it's going to be real close to where the Batman and Flash crossover stuff is going to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's like another 4 or 5 issue. Let's see, 16? Which ones come out this week? Is that 16 or 17? 17, so we got 4 more issues?
Yeah, because the Batman Flash crossovers is like 2021, right?
Yeah, it's like early 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's 21, I think, is the kickoff to that.
Yeah.
I could have her look that cover looked badass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See that where it's interchangeable?
Yep. Yeah, going from Batman to the Flash.
Yeah. I hold the button.
If I was still into gimmick type covers, I would go out and buy a physical copy of that one. But I have been burned by holograms in the past.
Your Robin 2 number 1 hologram cover?
No, you know what? I don't.
Robin 3.
No, I don't have that. No. Trying to think. I know you said you didn't finish Action Comics, but
no,
I
could talk about it, though.
I got to say, with the exception of the stuff, I mean, putting, you know, Lana and Steel into the issue,
right,
was like meh for me, because, you know, I'm not reading Superwoman, and I really don't care for Steel much.
Okay.
But this issue had a lot of Clark stuff.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fantastic. You know, she's getting the vibe with how creepy he is and how it's
been goddamn creepy the whole time.
Right. But I mean, you know, she's the best investigative reporter ever. So it's taken her a while.
Right.
But I think the part that I liked the most, you know, like, I mean, it was pretty straightforward where it was just weird Clark, you know, doing stuff. But when she follows him back to the apartment and she realizes it's, you know, it's the building where, you know, her Clark lived, and she goes inside to talk to him, and the doorman's like, yeah, no one's been through here. You know, like, when that happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, you see him going into the doors. I know you didn't read it, but you see him going inside, and she follows him inside and goes to the you know, guy at the security desk. He's like, oh, I saw Clark Kent come through here. I have a message. And he's like, no one's come in for the last whatever. And she's like, no, but I just watched him go in. He literally shows her, like, the security camera footage from the past 30 minutes, and nobody has gone into the building.
Wow, that's cool as hell.
So that was my reaction. You know, you're reading the story and you're like, all right, this is kind of interesting. I'm curious where it's going. Then that happened and you're like, aha. Well, let's see where this goes, you know? And it's way more interesting than I thought. And of course, you know, he's back. You know, Clark is back at work the next day, and he asks her out, and of course she turns him down, and then she's like, wait a minute, like, this is the best way that I could get anything done. Like, I can basically interview him,
right,
you know, on the date. And, you know, it ends kind of with her like, I don't know how I'm going to explain this to Clark.
Well, I mean, obviously he knows, so.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's.
Well, that's crazy because, like, well, that apartment seems crazy to me just by you explaining it, because, like, everybody at work sees him, and then the Chinese delivery guy saw him, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like a Sixth Sense type thing where.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan spoke to him.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So, huh. You know, I don't know if it's one of those, maybe he does have some superpowers, like, and he could kind of zip by without someone seeing him, or if there's some other something somewhere that he goes into before he actually gets to where the security guy is.
Wow, yeah.
You know, I'm very, very intrigued by this. I mean, this has been the Clark Kent story has been one of the things I've been the most interested in.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I mean, I guess we're 15, 16 issues in at this point of Action.
Right.
And, I mean, they haven't really given a lot of information. And this issue just, like, layered the whole mystery a ton. And I was, you know, I was sort of losing interest in Action Comics for a bit. And the last arc with, you know, the Godslayer guy going after Lex. I thought was great. That got me back into it, and this issue really pulled me back into the series.
That's cool.
You know, yeah, like I'm very very curious to see where they go from here.
Yeah, I plan on reading that when I get home, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. I had one other book I really wanted to talk about. It was from last week, I think.
Okay.
Not this week's books. The last issue of Justice League.
Yeah.
Did you read Justice League 14?
I think so.
It's basically them chilling out in a cave, you know, in the rubble underground, talking to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say, I have not liked this series pretty much at all. There was the one issue where they were at that girl's house, and they figured out, you know, she was the brother using the iPad to talk to whatever.
Right, yeah.
That issue was okay. The rest of the series, I thought, has been trash. This issue, easily the best one for me.
Really?
That I thought... it did so much to develop their relationships, because it's literally, it's what people do when there's nothing else to do. You sit around and you talk about anything and everything.
Right.
And eventually it starts, you know, it starts off kind of harmless, and then it always goes into the deeper questions of, you know, well, why did you screw me over here? How come this thing happened? You know, whatever.
Right.
And it's with everybody. You know, Superman is telling everyone about how Batman, you know, his Batman had this plan, you know, in a way to stop all of them. And they're like, well, you don't have that, right? And he's like, yeah, no, I sort of do. You know, someone's got to be able to stop you. And they're all like trying to reconcile that. And you have, you know, the whole thing about Jessica, of course, being all, I can't do anything, and everybody being like, no, you're so wonderful. And, you know, it's the interaction that all of the characters had was fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's like you said, it's like one of those, it's the just chill kind of normalcy, I guess.
Yeah.
Of it goes to the, back to the point that we've said it a million times of humanizing all the characters, I guess.
Yep, absolutely.
Because, I mean, that's what we do, so...
Yeah. You know, and I liked at the end when they're all, you know, talking like, all right, we got to do this not just as a group, we have to do this as a team. You know, this is the strategy we're going to use. We're going to do this. You do that. You do this. You know, the Green Lanterns are like, oh, you know, we're going to, not only are we going to shield Superman so he can get some sun, you know, we're also going to, you know, destroy this stuff, you know, as we're doing that. And, you know, the way that they strategized, it was great. My only knock on this issue is I did not like how they're telling you all this stuff, and then the last page was just like the news reporter, like the picture of them flying over the crowds by the White House.
Yeah.
When, you know, the report, like, oh, they did it. They destroyed this thing when that was happening. They're like, oh, I kind of wish that I saw the action.
Right, yeah.
But
it's the clipping of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's still that issue. It has bought that comic a few more issues from me.
I can see that. Yeah, definitely. Because if it was more like this, then we would both definitely be enjoying it more.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, as long as the interactions between the characters make this for me.
Right.
You know, that it's always been what I've really liked about the Justice League or any other, like, good team book.
Right.
I mean, it's what Detective Comics has been so good at, you know, in Rebirth as well, that when you have a group of people together, it's not just let's throw a bunch of cool people together and people are going to like it. You have to have a reason.
Right, yeah.
And the interaction between the people, how they work together, how they, you know, joke with each other, how they, you know, just anything is, it's what makes the story. And this issue finally made that happen. You know, it only took half a year, but Justice League is finally, you know, for me, this issue absolutely was the best.
Yep, I can see that. No argument out of me there.
Yeah. Anything else you want to chat about?
Do you want to talk about Deathstroke?
No, yeah, sure. Deathstroke's still awesome.
Yeah, Deathstroke, I think... For me, I think Deathstroke and Red Hood have been the most consistent badass titles. Well, and then, you know, you throw in Aquaman for me, I guess, but, like, Deathstroke's in a level all on its own for me.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many different layers and fucked up abilities and, you know, mind games type thing.
Right. My only complaint with this issue of Deathstroke is the art.
Really?
It's not bad, but, I mean, there have been some top-notch artists on this.
Okay.
That when you're... You know, kind of like with Red Hood and the Outlaws. The art's not bad in the issue. Right. But, I mean, Dexter Soy has been killing it on that book.
Right.
And then to put anybody else on it, it's jarring.
Yeah.
I
can see that, yeah.
You know, so, like, this one, I don't remember if it was last issue. Or, I mean, maybe the same guy did the last issue also. But... I mean, like, the storyline before this was, who was it? It was Cary Nord.
Yeah.
You know, and before him, it was, I don't even remember. I'm blanking, but, you know, like, it's been better than this.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. And that's...
And like you said, not saying that this one is bad, it's just jarring from what it was before.
Right. Yeah.
I can see
them. Who was it? Oh, Larry Hama, right? He was doing the art for a bit.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, this one, I'm looking at the title page, I guess. Larry Hama did the breakdowns of this, but Joe Bennett did the pencils, you know, so I guess he kind of laid it out for him, but right. It's, you know, stylistically... You know, it has the feel, the way the panels are set up and everything else.
Right.
But it, you know, just artistically, it's not the same.
Yeah. And if, like, 7-8 months ago, you would have told me that Deathstroke would have been, like, top-tier book constantly.
Yeah.
I would have told you that you were pretty damn crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I've always enjoyed Christopher Priest's writing. Even... You know, I mean, like, one of his better known things is Quantum and Woody, I guess.
Right.
And, I'm not a huge fan of that, but I enjoy his style writing it. And him on Deathstroke, I was like, that's odd. You know, like, I hoped that it didn't mean that Deathstroke was going to turn into, like, a Deadpool type of comedy action, but. I mean, yeah, there are moments in this that are comedic, but, I mean, it's layers upon layers of who's backstabbing who's doing this to that person, you know, what motivates this person to do anything. You know, it's a lot of crazy stuff.
Yep. And you can, this is, like, straight to movie.
I would love
a movie of this.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, this... If you were to take this and put this on, like, Netflix for 12 episodes...
Yeah.
My God, that would be fantastic.
Yep, agreed.
You know, as long as nobody fights in a hallway.
True.
I've seen it just a couple times too many.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Deathstroke is great. And his daughter's so good.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's going to add an element, too, because
the kid came up and told her pretty much what she already knew but didn't want to accept that she knew.
Yep.
So, or that, I guess that what we, the reader, knew was that it was just him wanting to spend time with her. Not really a real hit, but...
Yep.
The other guy took it as a real hit, so... Yeah, you know that there's going to be some... shit hitting the fan, basically, here in the next couple episodes, or issues.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like the part at the end where he's like, God damn it, I had a day's head start, and you still beat me here.
Yeah. It's great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, every bit of this, even him, you know, Deathstroke standing there watching Jericho sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and then just, like, disappearing, of course, you know. Yeah, just yeah. Every... So much. There are so many bits of this story that I'm really enjoying.
Yep. And it's all there, too. Like, layered there.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't feel like out of place either, really.
Yep. Yeah,
like,
I mean...
When they go back from character to character, say, like, from Slade by himself to Rose to Jericho, it doesn't feel like we're jumping around. It's actually cohesive and organic going back and forth, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's such a great job. Again, like you know, we've said it a million times, like before Rebirth, there is no way I would have even thought to myself that I would be reading Deathstroke.
Yep.
Let alone like fawning over every episode.
Yep. Agreed.
I think that's all I really wanted to talk about. I mean, there's other stuff, but I mean, yeah, I could always rant about how terrible Green Lanterns is.
Well, yeah. We pretty much can both do that, but that'd be like a whole episode by itself.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I mean, I'm so done with that series, and then they throw Batman in. And I'm like, you know what? I'll read it, because, like, let's see what happens with Batman. And then it's just trash. It's so bad.
Yep. Like, it's almost like what Batman does for Stephanie. I want like him to be constant for Jessica and just like smack her around and be like, God damn it, wake up.
Yeah. I do like how he doesn't call them by their names. He just refers to them as lanterns.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't deserve...
Although, for me, the last issue before Batman, I really, really enjoyed, though.
I don't remember.
Her and her anxiety and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Meh.
But it's closer to home. Because my wife has it, you know? Not to that level or that extent, but...
Your wife's a Green Lantern?
Well, if she does, she sucks at constructs, but...
That's amazing.
But she's good at cooking, so that's a fair trade.
I don't know. I think I'd rather have constructs than food.
Which, she made tacos tonight, so you know what I'm having for breakfast in the morning.
Oh, heck yes. Taco bagels. That's fantastic.
Yep.
Fantastic. Yeah, but... I don't get it. My kids look at me like I'm insane when I eat a taco bagel.
Yeah.
I'm like, what don't you understand? Tacos, yep. Awesome. Bagels, awesome. Taco bagels, awesome.
Right. And yeah. Now if somebody at a big restaurant chain's listening to this, then they can name their taco bagel rebirthically.
Oh my goodness. That would be so great. Give me 2 rebirthiclies with everything.
And a large Coke.
Yeah. That's great. I guess this is probably where I would venture into the realm of completely delirious, tired conversation.
So,
thank you all for listening to this episode of Rebirthically. Sorry it was a short one. Our schedules have been ridiculous. Hopefully it gets better soon.
This is our premiere episode. Oh, wait. Nope, just because we've been gone for a week or two.
Just a week. I did a solo show the week before. I was going to try and do one last week, but I kept passing out when I got home from work.
Yeah, and so did I. We were supposed to record that VCP show, and I fell asleep.
Yeah, I did record that, and you were to sleep the whole time.
Yep.
Good stuff. If you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet to me at Aaron S. Bell. You can tweet to Ronnie at RonBar316. You can tweet the show directly at NL Rebirthically. And you can email the show rebirthically@gmail.com. That, I believe, is everything.
That's it.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. You were recording, right? Because I wasn't.
No, because I'm driving.
Yeah, I know. I'm joking. I got it.